and to present God's word under not the best circumstances. I would rather your pastor not be sick, but glad to be here and thankful for his graciousness and kindness letting us be here today. Can you go to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4. I'll tell you a little bit about myself so you know who you're looking at. Yeah, I know I'm short and blonde-haired, but I'll tell you a little bit more about that. I was born in upstate New York. We lived on a 90-acre farm. My dad was a pastor and school administrator. I said I was one of 10, 7 boys and 3 girls. I'm the number 6. My younger brother, he's number 7. He says he's the perfect child because number 7, I would disagree. But anyways, my dad wanted to raise us boys in the country, so they bought a farm, and we lived there till I was about 10, from about 2 till 10. Then we moved to Indiana, to Greencastle, Indiana, not too far from here, Greencastle, Putnam County. Lived on 5 acres there, had some cattle and chickens and all that fun stuff. Then the Lord moved us to the city, Greenwood. We're right across the road from Indianapolis, right on County Line Road there. Moved us onto the campus there, and that was pretty much the first time my dad had lived in the city. He never wanted to go to a city, but Lord moved us there, and so we've been there ever since, there in Greenwood. And I got married, maybe 5 years in June, and we've lived on the campus there in an apartment ever since that. But the Lord moved us out to Indiana, and I love Indiana. We go back to New York sometimes, and New York has actually, there's a lot of farmland. Most of it is not the city, but that's what you hear about from New York. But I like to be in conservative Indiana with a lot of freedom and appreciate that. So like Indiana and like the people, and I met my wife here in Indiana. She's a Hoosier, and even though she's a Purdue fan, she's a Hoosier. So I like Indiana. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. If you would, could you read it out loud with me? Let's stand as we look at the Word of God, if you're physically able to stand. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let's read this out loud together if you have a Bible in front of you. Together. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord, it's our desire for you to speak to us this morning. And Lord, there's many other things we could be doing with our Sunday morning other than being in church. But Lord, we know that this is important. We believe this is a priority. We believe this is necessary. And Lord, we're here and we want to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be very present with us right now. The Lord, you'd impact our hearts. Lord, maybe someone needs encouragement this morning. Would you give that encouragement? Maybe there's someone who doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven. Will you help them to get that settled this morning? Lord, I pray that you would touch my lips and may I speak those things that would please you and help other people, Lord, as well. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Montaigne, he was a French philosopher back in the 1500s. He's quoted as saying, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened." You ever been worried? Worry is the human tendency. It's a very natural tendency. In fact, it's been the subject of a lot of studies. One study showed that worry can result in vision problems. That would explain why I have to wear contact lenses, maybe. But another study showed that because worry restricts the proper flow of saliva, acids are not properly neutralized, and tooth decay occurs. Ever been to the dentist? So have I. Another study showed, and it was across maybe 20, 21 different colleges and universities, showed that worriers get the lowest grades. Interesting, huh? Another study showed that 85% of what people worry about never happens. Isn't that an encouragement? It's not going to happen, probably. But of the 15% that does happen, we know some things that we worry about do happen, 79% of people found out that it was good for them, or they learned something from it. We worry a lot, don't we? And there are reasons for worry, aren't there? We're concerned. Sometimes it's financial issues. Oh, you look in the bank account, it's like, well, it used to look good, but not now. I had some good plans beginning of last year, but something changed. We can be a little concerned. Well, the IRA was doing great. Not so much anymore. Is Social Security going to be around when I need it? Or some of you that are using it right now, it's like you've paid into it your whole life and you're wondering, is it going to, you know, be around before I pass? Some definite worries that are legitimate. Sometimes we think of relationships. We're working hard, we're trying to make it work, and it's not quite working out so great for us. We could be worried about our relationships. Ever been worried about your health? Oh, pain in my left side. You know that pain in your left side in your mind all of a sudden turns into you're deathly ill. I probably have sclerosis, you know, and you're like, oh no, I got to get this checked out. And you do some research online. You're like, sure enough, here is this disease. It's very rare, but I have all the symptoms. And, you know, in your mind, you're down the road. You're like, you know, thinking of what your kids are going to do after you're gone and all those kind of things. And you know, we can worry about health. Sometimes it's fictitious. Sometimes it's legitimate. And we're concerned about our health. Ever been concerned about politics? No, none of you probably. But yeah, we can worry about politics, things happening in our nation, the economy. We can worry about things like that. Not a preacher or anything, but Robert Frost. You heard about Robert Frost, famous author. He's quoted as saying, the reason why worry kills more people than work is that more people worry than work. Probably some truth to that statement. The natural tendency is to worry. The world has ways of handling worry. In fact, there was a very smart man, no doubt, who came up with a way to get rid of worry. And he wrote a book on it. You probably can buy it and give him money for it and everything. But he presents 20 proven tools and processes in his book called The End of Stress. Wow, sounds great. But he says you can get all of this started just with one simple thing called the clear button. The clear button. It involves something you already have. Your hand. Take your hand. Let me make sure I get this right. You imagine a button at the center of your palm. Very simple. A button at the center of your palm. And you press it and count to three, and you imagine a color while you do it. You press it and you count to three. You count one, and you think blue. And then you exhale. You count two, and you imagine red. And you exhale. And you count three, and you imagine green. And you exhale. And supposedly, it takes your mind off of whatever you're worried about, gives you 90 seconds for nature to work, and the worries can take a long walk off a short pier. You know what? That sounds so simple. Hey, it'd be great if it worked, but I'm telling you, it won't work. It might help you for 90 seconds, but I promise you, your worries will probably be back. And, you know, congrats to him for trying, and that's good. But God has given us something in his word that works every time. Amen. A way that you can handle your worries. Because worry is always there. There's always something you and I can worry about, and God gives us an answer to handling those worries. Could you look again at the text? Be careful for nothing. Recognize God's command. Be careful for nothing. The word careful has the idea of being anxious or being worried. It's to be full of care about something. It's worry. Be careful for nothing. You know what that means? No worries and no exceptions. Remember the story in the Bible about Mary and Martha? And Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house, and I don't know if you remember the story, that Martha, the Bible says, was cumbered about much serving. She was putting the rolls in the oven, and she was setting the table, and she was getting the drinks out. She was doing everything and getting ready for Jesus. Jesus was here. for supper, you know, it's exciting, and she's getting ready, and if you remember the story, she comes to Jesus, who was sitting there talking, and the Bible says that Mary, the sister of Martha, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet hearing his word, and Martha comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, don't you care that she hath left me to serve alone?" You know, growing up, and I grew up in a big family, we split up the responsibilities, so we would have dinner. And afterwards, here comes the delegation. So dad or mom, they're like, "All right, John, you get the bowls. Deborah, you get the plates. Joel, you get the cups. Phil, you get the silverware. Daniel, you get the food." Who's left? Ben, you wipe the table. We had our little chores to do. "Where's so-and-so? They're supposed to, you know, take care of the drinks and put the milk away." "Oh, they're probably hiding in their room. They're in the bathroom. They're outside." They skip, and all the other kids are like, "Oh, man, they always do that, you know." Well, Martha comes to Jesus and says, "She's left me to serve alone. Bid her, therefore, that she help me." "Jesus, I know she's listening to you and everything, but I'm serving alone." And Jesus told her something that I think applies to all of us. He said this in Luke 10, verse 41. "Martha, Martha," you know when Jesus has to kind of stop you? Sometimes maybe it's like, "Hey, John, he's getting the attention. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And sometimes you and I are careful and troubled about many things. There's a lot of things to be worried about, and we're full of care about these many things. And Jesus says, "But one thing is needful." You ever been there, careful and troubled about many things? God says, "Be careful for nothing." No worries. No exceptions. There's a lady named Martha who was asked to drive an elderly lady to the clinic for an annual checkup. Martha didn't know this woman. All she was told that this person was about 90 years old or more than 90 years old and probably quite frail. But when she got to the door, the person who opened the door wasn't frail and looked to be about 70-some years old. Martha asked, "Do you mind me asking how old you are?" 93, the woman answered. Martha was astonished. "You look so much younger," she said. "What's your secret?" "Well, honey, 30 years ago I made the decision to stop worrying, and I haven't wasted a minute on it ever since." I don't know if it's a true story or not, but you know what? You and I can make a decision to stop worrying. And I know we can make the decision because God says, "Be careful for nothing." And if God tells us to do it, we can do it. Be careful for nothing. No worries, no exceptions. Will you this morning identify in your life, what are you worried about? What concerns you the most? Maybe a top three. What are your worries this morning? God says, "Be careful for nothing." Time to put it away. But I love that God doesn't just give us a command. He gives us an alternative. We look at that passage again, Philippians 4 and verse 6. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but..." It's like a parent with a child. I've got some little kids, and my son Joseph is 2 and very busy. Probably takes after... probably me when I was that age. But very busy, loves to get into things, and something he really likes is my toolbox. And I try to keep my toolbox up high and out of the way. But sometimes after I bring it in, I'm working on something, I bring it in. There's all sorts of great things for a little guy to get into. Some of them not so exciting to me as a parent. Like when he finds my big pair of scissors or a knife or a screwdriver, and who knows what he's going to try to fix in the house with that. Maybe the drywall or something. And so... what I like to do is get that away from him. And you know the tactic. If you want to get something away from a child without ruining his day, you bring him something a little more exciting, right? Something that works with my kids very well is candy, for some reason. And so if I want something from him, I can bring him some candy and say, "Hey, look at this." And while he's distracted with the candy, I can take the toolbox away. You know, God gave us an alternative to our worries, there in verse 6 of Philippians 4. He says, but, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's the alternative. Don't worry, but pray. God invites you and me to pray about the things that we're worried about. Have you ever wondered this? Why does God, who knows everything, knows what I'm going through, cares about me, why does he ask me to pray? When he already knows, he already has all the power to do something about it, why would he ask me to pray? Good question. You know what prayer is? Prayer is an act of faith. That's what prayer is. God does know everything, but God always responds to faith. And he does not respond when there is no faith. Remember, Jesus could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. When I'm not acting in faith, God's not acting for me. And so God says, do you have worries? Do you have troubles? Well, try praying. Don't worry, but pray. Because prayer is an act of faith. Let's see what God says about faith. Could you go to Jeremiah 17? Jeremiah 17. Faith is extremely important in our lives. Jeremiah 17. Look at verse 5 of Jeremiah 17. I will start reading for sake of time. Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. God says the person that makes flesh their arm, okay, the idea of making someone your arm is to lean on somebody. You're putting your dependence on it. You're believing in them. And we can make people, flesh, the things we trust in. We can trust in ourselves. We can trust in someone else. We can trust in someone else to take care of our needs. And God says, if you do that, you're cursed. It's not going to be good for you. You'll be like the heath in the desert. What is a heath? A heath is like a desert plant. We can imagine a cactus in the middle of Arizona. Now, no doubt Arizona is a beautiful place. It has its own desert beauty in some places. But the cactus doesn't see a whole lot of water. You know that? But God made them so they can live on very little water. They don't need a ton of water, but they probably wouldn't mind having a little more water. And God says, when you are making flesh your arm, your heart has departed from the Lord, you're going to be like a desert plant. You will not see when good cometh. I think of when it's raining cats and dogs in Indiana. Not during August and July, because that's drought time in Indiana. But it's raining cats and dogs, maybe March, April, you know, May, raining so much that we can't plant the fields, you know, and it's raining, raining. Well, that cactus in Arizona just wants a little bit of water. Just a little enough to stay alive. And sometimes as Christians, we're walking around with just enough to stay alive. Oh, man, I'm just so concerned about everything and worried and we're scared and... And God doesn't want us to be like the cactus in the desert. He wants us to be like a tree planted by a river. Would you look at the next verses, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green. It's like a tree planted by a river. You know trees have root systems, right? Ever tried to dig a bush out of your landscaping? It's a little fun job, isn't it? You dig and you snip and you try to cut the, chop the roots out and about 7 hours later you finally pull the thing out. I got smart and used a Chevy Silverado 2500 with four-wheel drive. It works a lot faster. But you know there's a root system. And a tree will have a root system. And a tree by a river, guess where its roots are going to go? In the river. Under the river. Well, there's always water. And even when there's a drought, the river goes way down. There's still some water there. And the roots are still in that river. And so there's no rain. And that desert plant is dying. And all the trees around are dying. But the tree with the roots in the river is green. Still got apples. Still looking great. And God says, you can be like the tree by the river. Where's your faith? Are we trusting in God this morning? There are many things we can be worried about, and God says, look to me. Trust me about the things you're worried about. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Let me ask, are you trusting in the economy? Are you trusting in your retirement plan? Are you trusting in your job you just got? Are you trusting in the doctor to make you better? Are you trusting in some political leader to fix things? God says there's a curse there. You'll be like a desert plant. Are you trusting in the Lord? God says, you trust me, you'll be like a tree by a river. Faith, God always responds to faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In here, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what? Acknowledging the Lord is simply coming to God. It's acknowledging him. God, I need you right now. And he shall direct thy paths as a promise. He will direct you. He'll take care of the need. So come to God in faith. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let's look at this prayer for a minute in this passage. Prayer. In everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer is simply asking God for something, right? Supplication is an earnest asking God for something. It's like when your kid wants an ice cream cone. Daddy, can I have an ice cream cone? We'll see. That means no in English. Daddy, can I have an ice cream cone? Oh, maybe in a little bit. That also means no in English. Daddy, can I please have an ice cream cone? Daddy, can I have an ice cream cone? It's like, maybe in a little bit. Daddy, can I please have an ice cream cone? I'll be really good. Can I please have an ice cream cone? And like every good dad, no, I told you. Sure, why not? Get in the truck, you know. So they go down to the ice cream store and he gets his ice cream cone. You know why? He had some earnestness. His supplication was, Daddy, please, please, can I have an ice cream cone? And God says, when you come to me, come with earnestness, with supplication. God, I still haven't received the answer yet, God. God, I'm still feeling a little concerned about this. I'm coming to you. God says, come with supplication. Just a reminder, why would God want us to come with earnestness, with entreaty, with pleading with God? It shows our faith is in him. God, I can't go anywhere else. I've got to come to you. You're the only source. You're the only one that can care for this. And God says, come with supplication, earnest prayer. Can I ask you, have you stopped praying about anything? Anything that you've been praying about and you stopped praying about it? Kind of gave up? So much for that. God didn't answer. Will you come again to God with earnest pleading, with supplication? Let your requests be made known unto God. Notice again the passage says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Will you come to God again with earnest prayer? Look, if you would, at 2 Kings. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings 13, starting at verse 14. 2 Kings 13, starting at verse 14. Just a story that illustrates this truth here of keeping at it. Keep talking to God about it. 2 Kings 13, starting in verse 14. Now Elisha, this was a man of God, the prophet in the time. 2 Kings 13, verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, okay, so Elisha's sick. The king comes to him. He's grieving over him. The prophet says to the king, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. 2 Kings 13, now in verse 16. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. This was a special moment. No doubt the king of Israel knew this is a special moment. Not every day that the prophet puts his hands on your hands on a bow and arrow. This was a special moment. It was something significant. Verse 17, and he said, open the window eastward. and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. He was saying, this is a symbol, that arrow you just shot at the window, you're going to take out the Syrians, big enemies, till you've consumed them. You can imagine the king of Israel, yes, victory. And the man of God, verse 18, he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, shoot some more arrows, etc. And he smote three times, and stayed. That means he stopped. Can you imagine your own prayer life, something you're real burdened about? And God says, will you talk to me about it? Will you talk to me about it? Yes, God, I'll talk to you about it. We talk to God three times, and then we stop. Would you look at the next verse, verse 19? And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. You have a whole quiver full of arrows. Won't you just shoot them? And sometimes we can pray, we can pray, and we can pray, but we stop praying. We give up faith. No, I guess God's not going to do it. God wants you to still pray. Can I challenge you this morning, whatever you stop praying about, will you pray about it again? God invites you. He says, let your request be made known unto God. The situations that you've given up on, it's impossible. God will never make this happen. I don't see what could get better in this situation. God says, come to me about it. Let your request be made known unto God. Come with earnestness. Come with not a passive praying, but a passionate, diligent prayer to God. Come to God because He said so. We see also this prayer back in Philippians chapter 4 is a prayer that is thankful. A thankful prayer. You know, we can thank God for what He's done. Thanksgiving is very simple, isn't it? When you do something for someone, let's say you give them $100 because they're in a hard time. Do you expect them to give you $100 back later on? No, of course not. You give them $100, you're helping them out. It's a gift. You know, something you do expect is them to say thank you. It's something very simple and something we sometimes forget, but we shouldn't say thank you. You know what? So often we forget to tell our Heavenly Father, who provides for all of our needs, who takes care of us day by day, who helps us in the hard spots, helps us in the easy spots, brings us to the mountaintops, brings us to the valleys, and we forget to tell Him thank you. God says, come to me, pray, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, God has done some great things for you, and as you think back about what God has done in the past, when you come to God for what you're worried about right now, you can thank Him for how He's taken care of you in the past. Romans 5 talks about how that we have tribulations and experience and hope and what it is we've seen God come through for us in the past. And so with this trial right now, I can see God will bring me through because of what He's done in the past. So thank God for what He's done in the past. We needed a truck earlier this year to pull a camper for our ministry. And so we were praying for a truck, not a big truck. We weren't getting a big camper, but wanted to get a 1500. And so we were pretty specific about our praying. I will say significantly, my daughter, who's sitting back there, she's 3, she significantly was the one praying for a blue truck. Great, blue truck. I think all of us like the color blue. Sure, let's go for it. A blue truck. Well, getting counsel, my older brother, he's really good with cars and everything. So he gave me some counsel what to get. For what we were doing, he advised a Silverado or a Sierra. Sorry, Ford or Dodge guys. I do like Fords, but he advised a Silverado or a Sierra two-wheel drive because they're good for pulling that kind of a camper and less to go wrong for the budget we have. We're going to buy used, you know. So, anyways, that's what he advised. And my daughter's praying for a blue truck. So it's gone, you know, a lot of time has gone by. She's praying for a blue truck and family devotion are praying for a blue truck. At some point, my faith is faltering. And I started teaching her, if God wants us to have a great truck, that's okay. So she started saying, if God wants us to have a great truck, that's okay. Oh, me of little faith, ruining my child's faith. Well, it's so neat because my friend and I, we went to check out this gray Ford F-150. Got there, kind of a piece of junk. Rebuilt title, and it was just not a super good situation. We walked away from it. Actually, I did look at a blue Chevy Silverado up here in Lebanon. I was going to buy it, and it sold before I could get it, and not quite the deal I wanted, et cetera. Well, still praying, or my daughter had been praying for the blue truck. Well, one day, looked on Facebook Marketplace, popped up like an hour before. Here it was, blue Chevy Silverado, two-wheel drive, four independent doors, which we needed for our kids. Contact the people. We didn't want to spend the money that they wanted for it. Just kind of told them that. They're like, well, you know, just tell us how much you can do. You know, we tell them and et cetera. The story, I could make it longer. But Christian people, they want us to come look at it. They gave it to us for a song. They wanted to help us out. They were just awesome people. God gave us a blue truck. You know what? I can thank God for what he's already done. And when I get to a time in my life where I'm doubting what God can do, I can look back on what God did. And I can say, thank you, God, for the blue truck. I'm sure if you can give me a blue Chevy Silverado two-wheel drive four-door with way less miles on it, by the way, than what was listed, then I think you can take care of this issue that I have right now. Will you come to God in prayer, supplication, it's earnestness, thankfulness, God, you can take care of me in the past. Thank you for what you did there. Thank you for what you're going to do with this one. I'm trusting you with it. Come with prayer. So we see that God gives us a command. Stop worrying. And here's the alternative. But pray. Talk to me about it. And then we look at verse 7, Philippians 4, verse 7. He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You and I need somebody to keep us, guard us, protect our mind, our hearts. And God says, if you stop worrying and you bring your problems to me in prayer, I will keep your hearts and minds with my peace. You ever need peace? I do. We need peace in the middle of storms. And God says, I'll give you peace. Notice this is the peace of God. It's peace that originates with God. You know the story of Jesus in the boat in the middle of a storm? And he was asleep on a pillow? How did Jesus sleep on a pillow in the middle of a storm? And his disciples come in and say, Master, we perish! Don't you care that we perish? And Jesus, they woke him up from his nap. Why wasn't Jesus worried about it? It was going to be okay. God was in the boat. And he got up and he said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And that's the peace that you can have in your life today with whatever you're worried about. It's the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You ever had peace in your heart? And someone asked you, how are you so happy still or peaceful? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But it's the peace of God. Passes all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you can have that peace. You know, we try all sorts of things to get peace. We try the little gimmicks that I talked about earlier. We try the pills. We try to, you know, take some extra vacations and try to just get peace and try to get away for a while. And the only true peace is from God. And you can have it if you stop worrying and you pray. When I was about a sophomore in college, maybe freshman, I don't know, probably sophomore, I came to my dad, and my dad's the president at Indiana Baptist College, and I was volunteering there at the time. Did not have a steady job, just worked some odd jobs and didn't make much money at all. And I had some goals in life. I wanted to get a car, and I wanted to have money for a ring. Now, I didn't have a girlfriend yet, but, you know, I was thinking ahead. and so I had some goals there, and I came to him, and I had a great idea. I wanted to get a job at Chick-fil-A. My brother-in-law was a manager at Chick-fil-A. He could get me a job. I had a great idea. Work one day a week, $50 a week, one shift, Saturdays, you know, end of the school week. $50 a week, and I can start saving. Now, $50 a week doesn't sound like much, but if you're making nothing, it's a lot of money. And so this is a great plan I had. Well, I came to my dad, and typical, you know, clear-thinking dad, he just kind of like, well, I'm taking care of all your needs. All my expenses were paid for. He was taking care of everything. He just recommended me just keep doing what I was doing. I don't remember even if I had a good attitude about it at the time, but the next day, if I get either the next day or the following, something real close, we were having some friends come over. They were coming up from Jeffersonville, Indiana, and they coming up to bring some books to the college or something and coming over for supper. And I remember I came into the parking lot, I think I was leaving the office to come home, and saw their vehicles parked at the end of the parking lot. They had a minivan and a Ford Fusion. And at the time, it was a 2010 Ford Fusion, and I loved Ford Fusions. They're like my favorite, you know, normal car at the time. Might not rival a Mustang, but, you know, they were a nice car. And so I come into our house, and the father of the family, he hands me this dollar bill. Ever had those really confusing moments? Like, I have no idea what's going on, but cool. So I take this dollar bill and didn't know what was going on. And he said something about waiting till my dad got home. Okay, great. So my dad gets in the door, and this guy pulls out a set of keys. And they were Ford keys. And he hands them out, and he says, either you can keep the dollar or you can trade it for the set of keys. So I piously got on my knees right there, and no, I didn't. I traded him for the set of keys. But they weren't for the Ford Fusion. They were for the 1994 Ford Aerostar Sport. With like a little dent over the back wheel, you know. Ground effects, cool van, you know. Like some of this bluey green color. But you know what? God had given me a car. I was so excited. I didn't care. The guy had gone around, checked the brakes out, left money in it for an alignment. Said the front tire needed to be replaced. I never replaced it. Got an alignment. I was so excited. I went in there, got in this van, started driving the parking lot. It was not very powerful. Then I found out the emergency brake was on, took that off. Worked better after that. God gave me a car. So excited. Well, sometime after that, after I graduated from college, the Lord put me together with my wife, and we started dating. Partway through our year of dating and engagement, we got married the next year. I crashed that van. Wasn't my fault. Praise the Lord. I was, you know, nip and tuck to get to youth leaders meeting, cleared the front off of a black Chrysler, someone to pull out in front of me, and no one was hurt. Praise the Lord. The van died. Police officer got there and said, yeah, they built those things like brick chicken coops. Yep. And because of that, the insurance company of the other driver bought my van, and I just got a big check that was really helpful and buying a ring. It's neat how the Lord works things out, isn't it? And sometimes we worry about the smallest things, or maybe some big things we worry about, when God has no difficulty in caring for our worries, caring for our issues. And He invites you this morning, don't worry about it, but pray about it. And I'll give you peace. Lord, this morning, there might be some who are concerned or worried about something in their life this morning. Lord, you are the God of peace. You're the God that gives your people peace. You're the God that offers peace to those who do not know you in salvation. Even this morning, you offer that peace. Lord, I pray that this morning, during this invitation time, people would be open to your leading of them to stop worrying and to simply bring their worries to you. A time in our nation, a time in our lives that can be very worrisome. Lord, we need to bring a request to you and simply enjoy your peace. Lord, work in our hearts in a special way, even right now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.